A couple of weeks, we've been speaking on the passion of God. And we've been asking this question, what is the primary passion and pursuit in the kingdom of God? Especially in this dispensation that we find ourselves since Christ came into this world, the kingdom and the heart of God is to seek and save the lost. That is God's heart, to redeem, to restore, to pick up and bring close, to create a new and living way so that we can come into this glorious revelation of the love of the Father. That's why Jesus sent His Son into the world to seek and save the lost. And when one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. Far more than over the 99 righteousness or the righteous ones, heaven rejoices over the one sinner that comes to repentance. That's when the purpose of the sacrifice of the Son comes to its fullness and heaven rejoices. Every time a sinner repents, heaven rejoices. And we've been asking this question as children of God, if that is God's passion, as His children, should our passion not be the same as His? Should our heart and our treasure not be where His heart and treasure is? And the answer to God's passion is found in Christ when He sent His Son not to do His own will, but to do the will of the Father, to finish the work, to seek and save the lost. And not only was that the passion and purpose of God that sent Christ into the world to seek and save the lost, Christ in turn sent us with that same passion, with that same commission, with that same calling. He sent us that was redeemed, that was picked up, that was delivered, that was made whole. He said, now that you are saved, now that you're in the family of God, I want you to go and take the same grace, the same gospel, the same spirit, the same message into the world and bring in the lost. That's the heart. That's the commission. We mentioned John chapter 17 when Jesus prayed before His crucifixion for His disciples. He prayed this prayer and He said, as praying to His Father, He says, Father, as You sent Me into the world, I also send them into the world. And then after His death and His resurrection and His first appearance with the disciples, He repeated the same sentiment. He said, peace be to you. As the Father has sent Me, I also send you. And then, of course, just before He was taken up after 40 days of being with His disciples, at the last moment before He ascended into heaven, He gave us this: all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples, the Great Commission, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end. The heart and the passion of God that sent His Son into the world to save the lost, and those who are being saved, He gives the same commission. Go. In the same way the Father has sent Me, I'm sending you to fulfill the same will and the same passion. To see the lost saved, the broken restored, the captive set free. That is the family business of God. That's the family business of God. And we have this privilege to be part of this family. And as children, we grow up in this family till the age of maturity. And after He's taken off the nappies and He weaned us from the bottle and He starts to give us solid food, He brings us to this point and He says, my son, my daughter, this is the business. This is the family business. Go. Work with Me. So we grow up in His family. And when our heart meets with His heart and our passion meets with His passion, there is fullness of joy. And so in John 4, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent Me and to finish the work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the field, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit to eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Isn't that beautiful? He who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. So we have been entrusted with the same will and the same work as the Father has given to the Son. We have been entrusted with that same passion, with that same commission, so that we can share in the same joy, so that he who sows and reap may rejoice together. And we have been given the same commission with the same empowerment, the Holy Spirit, and called to become more like Christ in this world so that we can fulfill the same passion, so that we can share in the same joy. And that's Hebrews 12 that says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that was set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't that beautiful? Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and who's this great crowd of witnesses? Go read Hebrews 11. You will see who is the great crowd of witnesses. It speaks from the beginning, from Adam and Abram and Moses and Gideon and all those great heroes of the faith, David and everybody that had the hope and never the fulfillment of this great promise of God, not just with us, but in us, with us, amongst us. Seeing the fulfillment of that, we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses that is encouraging us to finish the race. Come on. Finish the race. Jesus endured a lot in this world, but his expectation, his focus was on the joy set before him, because his treasure was in heaven. So last week we asked, where is your treasure? Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys nor thief break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The location of your treasure will determine where our hearts are. It's interesting, not the other way around. The location of your treasure will determine where your heart is. So last week, we were challenged by a cold clinical decision. Where's your treasure? Is it in eternity or is it here? Because it will determine where your heart is. This morning, I want to continue with your heart, because I've realized that if our hearts are not in the kingdom of God, the work of the kingdom always feels like an obligation, a compulsion, and a sacrifice. If your heart is not in the kingdom of God, whatever you work around the kingdom of God, whatever you sow into the kingdom of God, whatever you pour into the kingdom of God will always feel like an obligation and a sacrifice. But if your heart is in it, it is with joy that you give. God loves a cheerful giver, not of compulsion, but joy. Because your heart will determine your passion. But if our hearts are in the kingdom, we labor together with great joy to see the kingdom advance. When our heart meets with God's heart, when our passion meets with his passion, there is fullness of joy. Sadly, today there's this false teaching going around that as Christians, we who once were lost and saved, we were once who were lost and found and saved by this passion, by this heart of God. Now that we saved, now that we found, we don't have to do anything anymore. We can just sit back and continue in this life, in this world, as if nothing has happened. We don't have to do anything, with no responsibility to the grace and the gospel, the will and the work of God that saved us, and we've even been commissioned with it. We don't have to do anything about it. You can just sit back in this world and continue in your life as if nothing's happened. People confuse the work of the law that is unto salvation, that was replaced by God's grace, that we cannot earn salvation through works, but it's freely given to us. There's nothing we can do to earn it. We confuse it with the works of the kingdom, which is to advance and finish the work. And so many people confuse the two, the works of the law with the works of the kingdom, and which is simply to finish the work. The grace that saves us and the grace that empowers us to do that. At Conversions this year, Pastor Rick Rousseau from America, he preached on Matthew 25. It's a parable that Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. And it was so interesting. He said, you know what, if he had to tell the story, he would do it completely different. It's the story of the five talents. He says if he were to tell the story, he would have done it completely different. Because we know the story about the guy that got five talents and the guy that got two talents and the guy that got one talent. He said, you know what, if he was telling the story, he would do it completely different. As a matter of fact, he would take the guy with the one talent, the underdog, and he will make him the hero. As a matter of fact, he didn't like the ending either. I mean, the guy that only got one, the one that he had was taken away from him and was given to somebody else. It doesn't really make sense. I mean, it would have been far more inspiring to make the underdog the champion. And he was talking about all the different things that he would change if he were to tell the story. But you know, the challenge with the parable is that the purpose of the parable was not entertainment. The purpose of the parable was to describe a reality of the kingdom. It was not there to entertain or to entice or to win converts. It was simply trying to explain to us how does the kingdom of God work. And the reality of it, an aspect of the reality of the kingdom of God. A glimpse of an aspect of it. So here goes the parable. For the kingdom of heaven, say the kingdom of heaven. It's not the kingdom of the world. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's like a man traveling to a far country. Who's this man traveling to a far country? It's Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is telling about the kingdom of heaven. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country that called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Who's his own servants? If the man traveling to a far country that's coming back, who do you think that is? It's Jesus. Now, if Jesus is the man traveling to the far country, who's his own servants? It's his followers. It's us. We're his servants. So Jesus tells the story, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. What would that be? What did God deliver to us of his own? Think about that. A man traveling to a far country called his own servants and delivered his own goods to them. Not to fall over, but thanks for that. And to one, he gave five talents. And to one, two, and to another one. Each according to their ability. So here Jesus speaks about himself going away, delivering to his own servants of his own goods, each according to their own ability. Some he gave five, some he gave two, and some he gave one. And immediately, he went on a journey. He gave to each one of his own goods and immediately went on the journey. A certain man that was about to go on a long journey called all his servants, his own servants to himself, and gave of his goods to them. Each according to their own ability, and immediately he left. Sounds familiar? And then he who had received five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug it in the ground and hid the Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. After a long time. Sounds familiar? So when he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over little. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And then he had received 1 talent, came to the Lord, said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man. Reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. And I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and a gnashing of teeth. The parable of the 5 talents. Jesus was telling the story to explain an aspect of the reality of the kingdom of God. The servants was given something by the master according to their own ability. And there was ownership, responsibility, accountability, and judgments. 4 things. There was ownership. It was given to each one. There was an account, a responsibility, because they had to do something with what they were given. Then there was accountability in that they were had to give an account for it when he returned. And then also there was judgment, because each one's work will be declared and be judged accordingly. What did you do with what I have given you? According to your ability. Those who worked according to their ability, participated in the master's interest, took what they've received and did something with it, they received reward and fullness of joy. But the last servant made no effort, had no expectation, took no risk, and was driven by fear. So his judgment was different. Some people think judgment is a bad thing. You know, judgment can be different things to different people depending on which side of judgment you stand. Judgment can be made in your favor or it can be made against you. Judgment isn't a bad thing. If you're in Christ, your joy and your hope and your expectation and your life and your heart and your treasure is in him, there's nothing to be afraid of. None of these other 2 servants came to the Lord in fear. They actually came to him with great expectation and excitement and says, Lord, look what you've given to us. It multiplied. But the 1 servant was afraid, because he made no effort, had no expectation, took no risk, and was driven by fear. So the question is, what did God give to us? John 17 says, As I was sent by the Father into the world, I have also sent you into the world. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I've also sent you. John 20, and then Matthew 28, just before he left. This, what you have received, this salvation, this grace, this mercy, this peace, this love, this revelation of who I am, the fact that I've come into the darkness to seek and save the lost, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. This is your inheritance. This is your hope. This is who you are. This I give to you. Go. Multiply. Multiply. Last week I asked this question, where is your treasure? This week I believe God is asking us, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Some say this does not matter, but you know what? Jesus was quite radical. I wonder what some preachers would say today if Jesus were to preach. I didn't have time to read it in context, but if you think it doesn't matter, I think you shouldn't read the rest of the chapter. What happens before and what happens after. Jesus was quite radical when it came to ownership, responsibility, accountability, and judgment. He was quite radical about the fact that what he has given to us, there is an expectation and a responsibility. Not out of fear, but out of great joy and appreciation and thankfulness of what I have received. Like Paul says, I beseech you, based on the mercies of God, that you present yourself as living sacrifices, which is your reasonable response. How else should you respond to this great love and mercy that you have received? By taking in the same passion that saved you. Jesus speaks of four different types of servants in Luke chapter 12, challenging chapter as well. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise servant? Who wants to be the faithful servant? Anybody here? Who wants to be the foolish one? Okay. Who then is this wise and faithful servant, whom the master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? You see the household? He will make you ruler of his household. Blessed is that servant when the master will find him doing so when he comes. Blessed be that servant when the master returns, find him doing so when he returns. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. I'll give you my household. And when I return and I see you busy with it, I will make you ruler of everything. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a little. I will make you ruler over many. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all he has. But if that servant, the second one, but if that servant says in his heart, where is your heart? My master is delaying his coming. And he begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and be drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Jesus is quite radical. It's a Jesus people don't preach about anymore. And I fear there are so many servants who dig a deep hole and hide what they have received. And they miss the joy. They miss the passion. They miss the opportunity to connect with God's heart and God's passion and serve with Him, not just in this life for fullness of joy, but that great reward. And that servant, the third type of servant, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to the will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know the fourth one yet committed things deserving stripes will be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, to him much will be acquired. And to him much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Each one of us has been committed according to our ability. 5, 2, 1, 3, 6. According to our ability, God has given us much. But there needs to be ownership. There needs to be responsibility, accountability, and the reality of judgment, which is not to be feared. Before you get afraid, remember the parable of the talents. The first two servants were not afraid to come to the Lord when he returned. They were full of joy. They were expectant. They were waiting. They were busy. And when the Lord came, they said, "Lord, look, what has happened with what you have given us? It increased." But remember the guy who did nothing? One of his reasons was fear. He was afraid. He said, "Lord, I was afraid because I knew." The other two, their hearts had no fear. We sang it unexpectedly. Nothing is coincidence, but what a powerful song. I'm no longer a slave of fear. Because my heart is in love with God. My heart is connected with His heart, with His passion. My heart is not here. My treasure is not here. My heart is where He is, where He is, where His passion is. And when He returns, I will be full of joy. They did not work with fear, but with enthusiasm because of the love for the Master. And you know what Scripture says, that perfect love casts out all fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. It speaks about identity. It speaks about who I am, who I've become, what has happened to me. And I'm no longer in this world. I'm no longer part of this world. I'm an alien, a stranger. I'm just passing through. My treasure and my heart is here where God is. My prayer is like Jesus taught me. Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. God, that is my cry. That is my heart. So with a great expectation and excitement, they labored in the God's interests. And then they heard these words. So he had received 5 talents and came and brought 5 other talents, saying to the Lord, "Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, look what has happened. I have gained 5 more talents besides them." You can see the excitement. You can see the enthusiasm. You know why? Because their hearts were in it. God gave them something and their hearts were in it. And they worked with it with enthusiasm. The other guy, where was his heart? What did he do with his time? What did he do with what he received? Nothing. He had no expectation. He made no effort. Took no responsibility. Took no risk. He hid it away. Nobody even knew. Nobody even knew he received anything. He just went on with his life as if nothing had happened. But these guys, their hearts were in it. And because their hearts were in it, there was no fear. There was no obligation. There was no pressure. But an absolute joy. My question this morning, I believe God is asking us, where is our heart? Paul puts it this way in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4. "But as we have been appointed by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." As we've received this gospel, we speak, not trying to please men, but God who tests our what? Our hearts. My question I believe God is asking us this morning is, where's your heart? Then yeah, in 1 Corinthians 9, he continues to say, "But for if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with the stewardship." Do you see how Paul summarizes this? He summarizes both aspects. He says, listen here, we have been entrusted with the stewardship. Something precious, something glorious, something amazing. We have been saved. We have been redeemed. We ourselves were sinners. We ourselves were lost. We were ourselves trapped in this world. We were broken and destitute and without identity. And we got saved. And that the same grace that saved us was then entrusted to us and say, go, share it to the rest. Share it to those around you that are broken and sinful and trapped. We have been entrusted with the gospel, and we have been sent, commissioned, anointed, empowered with the Holy Spirit. And it is a stewardship. It is something we have received that we have to do something with. And by embracing and partnering with God in His will and His kingdom, there is great reward. God even incentivizes us with this responsibility. And if not in this life, if our reward is not in this life, it is in the life to come. And you know what? If your treasure is in the life to come, it doesn't matter whether the reward is here or not. And that's what the prosperity teaching warped completely. It corrupted the heart of God. It's not what I give to God, what I can receive here and now. It's not about here and now because my treasure is not here. My treasure is there. And when I give and when I sow and when I give of myself and my time and my abilities and everything into the kingdom of God, I'm not expecting to get anything here because I don't want it here. Because it's going to decay here. It's going to be there. That's why Jesus said, you know, when you pray, don't be like the Pharisees that stand at the street corner and do what? Blow the horn that everybody can see. Because most assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. And when you give, don't be like the hypocrites that let everybody know that I give to the poor so that everybody can see me, because most assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. And when you pray, don't blow the trumpet that everybody sees that you're praying. Pray in secret so that your God who sees in secret will reward you, because most surely I say to you, though do it in the wrong way to receive treasures here, they will have their reward here. But when they get there, the Lord will say to you, but you wanted it there, so I gave it to you there. And God says, but when you do it in secret. Let nobody know. Let nobody see. Because God sees your heart. And He will reward you. And I want to tell you people, even if God does not reward you here, rejoice. Because great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. And if your treasure is there more than it's there, you'll be far happier. So don't build for your treasures here. Don't give to receive. You can. I'm not denying the fact that there is some truth in it. But if your heart is to give simply to receive here, don't be surprised when that happens. But don't be surprised when you get here either. But if you give because your heart is connected with God and your passion is with His passion and your treasure is there and it doesn't matter what you get here, then it doesn't really matter where you get it, does it? Then if God decides I'm going to bless you anyway here, then it's just even more gratefulness and thankfulness. It's not something I'm expecting, is it? You know how many people give to God and they get offended with God because God did not give them the hundredfold here and now? God says He tests our hearts. So don't give to receive. Give because you love. Give out of thankfulness, out of joy. And if God blesses you in the meantime, rejoice also. The question is, where is your heart? Do we really have a choice as those who've been trapped in sin, deserving punishment, with all the guilt and the shame, do we really have a choice of those who've been redeemed, saved, restored into endless life? Do we really have a choice with what we're going to do with this great salvation that we have received and have been commissioned and empowered and been sent to do? Do we really have a choice as children of God? The answer is, of course. Of course we have a choice. That's the whole parable. We can choose what we're going to do. We're going to either be enthusiastic, joyfully responding to God and His love for us and say, God, I want to give You back my life and pursue You. Or we can decide we're going to do nothing at all. We can decide, you know what? Thank You, Lord. Yes, I'm saved. I'm just going to go on living my life for myself. I'm just going to live my life for myself. You go on with the work. Well done, Jesus. You go for it. I'm just going to go on with life. Of course we have a choice. That's why Jesus told the parable. In case we misunderstand the very obvious response that we should have when we were lost, when we were broken, when we were condemned and got saved. When your parents prayed for you, for your salvation, labored hours endlessly, friends, colleagues, people giving into ministries and churches that minister so that you can be saved. God sending His Son. Of course, you can decide, thanks for all that. But I don't think that's what God is calling to us. Well, not according to Jesus. Clearly not. The right response is not to hide what we've received, but to with joy say, God, thank You. If this is Your heart, if this is what You expect of me, God, how can I but respond? But a reasonable response to this great mercy that I've received. Give myself as a living sacrifice to You and say, God, here I am. Everything I have. My heart, it's Yours. Your will, Your kingdom be done. Not mine, but Yours. God, my passion, Lord, that's okay. Your passion first. And you know what? I can guarantee you God's going to bless you anyway, man. Don't worry. But the question is, where's your heart? We can decide to make no effort, have no expectation, take no risk, take no ownership, take no accountability or responsibility. Or we're going to say, God, thank You for loving me. Thank You for sending Your Son to seek, find, and save me. And I'm going to respond by giving everything I am to You, Lord. And I'm going to pursue Your will. I'm going to pursue Your kingdom, Your interest, Your heart, Your passion first in my life. So the question is, where is your heart? And don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about your heart. Where is your heart? Because if your heart is truly in His will and His kingdom, serving Him in His will and His passion, and His kingdom will be full of joy. This morning, I believe God is simply asking us this. Where is your heart? Is it truly in His will and His kingdom, or are we still serving two masters? Your heart will determine your passion and your commitment, the attitude and the motivation with which you work with God in His field, in His household, and in His will. So if you want to know where your heart is, what is the acid test? What do you call it? Was I papier, you know, insert? What? The litmus. Is that what you call it? The litmus test. If you want to know where your heart is, just check your motivation, passion, enthusiasm that you give into the heart of God. Just dip it in and see what comes out. And if the test is negative, all you do is say, Lord, help me. I want to change my heart. I've realized my heart is still here. God, I pray that you will help me move my heart. Take my hand. You know, that's the amazing thing. God, you know, Jesus says, all those who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I mentioned it last time. You bring your yoke with all the stuff in the world and all the worry and all the concern. You bring that to me. Let's make an exchange of yokes. I take your yoke away from you and I put my yoke upon you. My yoke. Yoke is a work of, is an instrument of labor. You know, two oxen were yoked together to pull something. And Jesus says, listen, you come to me. Come yoke with me. Take my yoke upon you. That's easy and light. And I'm humble of heart. I'm not going to reject you. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. I'm gentle. I'm humble. If you're struggling, come to me. Just bring your yoke. Let's make an exchange and I will teach you. Don't worry. My yoke is easy. You know why? Because I'm carrying most of it. Just come alongside me because I want you to share in the joy. So I want to encourage you this morning. Put not only your treasure in heaven, put your heart there also. Put your heart there and see what God reveals to you. See what passion life becomes when you go to work. And this is so easy. You go to work. Not like the guy who made no effort, had no expectation, and took no risk. Just go to work and say, Lord, I want to thank you for my salvation. I want to thank you, God, that you've called me with this great joy, this great salvation, into the world and share it with everybody. God, today, I take ownership of what you've given me. God, I go with an expectation that the Spirit that you've anointed me to empower me, to be witnesses, is operating in me. And God, I come with a great expectation before you, God, that I can labor with you in this harvest field, your field, Lord. Today, I come to you and say, God, show me. Just show me the field. God, show me the people on your heart. God, open my eyes to see the way you see, God. My heart to feel the way you feel, Lord. I want to be moved with compassion like you do. And go with an expectation that God will speak to you, that God will show you as you go about, as you are doing what you're doing. The Great Commission, when it says go into the world, is literally saying, as you do, as you are going, as you are doing what you're doing, just go with an expectation, with an awareness, with a willingness. And if God speaks to you, if he guides you to love here and have compassion here and to give here and to share here, just take the risk. Just take the risk. It's okay. It's okay if it doesn't work out. We'll get to that some other time. It's okay. Just take your bags of seed, like I shared a couple of weeks ago, and sow everywhere. Just be willing. Just be enthusiastic. Just be expectant. Just pray. People, pray before you go to work. It's powerful. You say, God, this day you have made. Therefore, it will be blessed. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that you've called me and entrusted me. God, here I am. Use me. And see what God does in your life. Do it every day and see what he does. Your life will never be the same. And as you sow, as you start sowing into the lives of the secretary and the colleagues and the strangers and the brothers and sisters around you in the kingdom and the work of the kingdom, as you start to give and act, you will start to see the fruit of people's lives change. And I can tell you, nothing in this world will replace that joy when you see your seed produces something. And you know what? That joy is not it. One day we're going to come to heaven and we're going to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over Kitty's church. You invested in my little ones. I saw the sacrifice you made. I saw how you prepared. Even though you didn't feel like it, I saw how you taught the little ones. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a little." God's going to come and He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I saw you going to life group. I saw you prepare and pray. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a little. I will make you ruler over many. Well done, good and faithful servant. I saw you facilitate. I saw you give. I saw you serve. I saw you welcome. I saw you usher. I saw you give. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a little." God sees the widow that throws in 3 cents, 2 copper coins. I see that. I see that. I see your heart. That's what God is after this morning, our hearts. Will we close our eyes? Father, we want to thank you that you have given us life. You have given us life abundantly. Lord, you've given us mercy. You've given us grace. Lord, you've saved us. Lord, you've redeemed us. You've called us your own. Lord, you've made a way for us through the gospel, Lord. We want to thank you, God, that it is through the simplicity of preaching the good news that men are saved. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that leads men unto salvation." God, we want to thank you that you've entrusted us not just with our salvation, but with the method of salvation, which is faith in Jesus. And Lord, we have that faith. And you call us, God, to share it with the world around us that are so desperate, that are so broken, that are so empty. We have found the source of life. We have found the location of the spring that wells up within the desert. And wherever the water flows, there is life. God, help us not to hide it, but to share it with everyone. Let us run into the desert proclaiming loud, "We have found a source of life, so that whosoever believes will be saved and join with us in this glorious adventure of living with you." Lord, thank you for entrusting us, but not leaving us as orphans. But you send your Spirit, God. You send your Spirit to empower us that we may be witnesses. To enable us that you've given us the grace that despite our inability and our shortcomings, you have given us the grace of your Spirit, Lord, to be witnesses. According to our ability, according to our own unique ways. And all you're after is our heart. You just want to see us being passionate. You love that. And even in the eyes of the world, if we may accomplish a little, being faithful at home as a mother with our 2 children and investing in them, or being diligent to work and pray for the colleagues, every day say, "Lord, I pray for this one and I pray for that one, Lord, and I pray for their salvation." And when we're attentive to the needs and the hurts of people around us, and we have compassion and we reach out to them, not for what we can gain, but because of the love and the compassion that is in us that compel us when we see hurt and pain, and we reach out to those around us and we extend, even though we don't always have silver and gold, but what we have, we give. You see that. When you say, "But one day I'm going to come and I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats, and I'm going to say, when I was hungry and when I was thirsty and when I was naked and when I was in prison, you fed me, you clothed me, you visited me. And we're going to respond, Lord, when? When did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you in hospital, in prison? And you respond, but whenever you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a little. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Come and share in my joy. Lord, today, God, we want to respond to your invitation to put not only our treasure, but our hearts where yours are. Our heart is to the sea, the lost saved, Lord, to the broken healed, to the captive set free, and to proclaim the acceptable year of God. God, this morning as we respond to your word, Lord, and I'm going to give each and every one of you just where you're seated, just an opportunity, just to respond. Say, God, today, Lord, I want to put my heart in your kingdom. So just where you are this morning, as all the eyes are closed, just respond to God's invitation. And the question that there is, just respond to him in your own words, just where you are. Some of us, we sang that song, that first song, Afrikaans song, that said, Kom verander, kom vernuwe die passie binne my. En sommige van ons hier vanoggend, ek voel God vra net, dat ons ons hart na hom toe moet bring, en dat soos as het bring na hom toe, dat ons vir hom vra, kom Vader, kom vernuwe, kom verander die passie binne my. God, come and renew, change this passion in my heart, Lord. Renew it again. Lord, some fires need to be kindled this morning. Some flames, Lord, that was burning. Lord, that has gone small, Lord, this morning, God. You just want to blow with your spirit, God. You want to blow over those little candles, Lord. You want to burn that candle down, Lord, that it may become a fire, Lord, that will set the world on fire, Lord. God, so I want to pray for the small flickering fires this morning, God. If that is you, just raise your hand before God. If you need God just to come and breathe again, come and change, come and renew the fire in you. Just respond to him. I'm not going to call you forward. Just God, here I am, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord. I'm asking you to come and kindle this fire within me. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the hands, Lord, that are responding, the hearts, Lord, that are responding. Lord, I want to thank you for these little flames. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will breathe your breath over it, Lord, that you will ignite it, Father. That you will, you can drop your hands, that you will ignite it, that you will ignite it, Father God, that you will ignite it in the name of Jesus, Father God. I pray for felt fires, Lord. I pray for lies, Lord, that will not just be changed in this room, Lord. I'm praying for the lies that will be changed outside of this room, Father God. As people go with an expectation, Lord, with an enthusiasm, Lord, with a joyful heart of what they've received into the world, Lord, and share life, Lord. Speak life. Be life. Lord, I just pray for your grace, Lord, to empower us. Holy Spirit, come and renew the passion in us to see the lost saved. In Jesus' name. And Father, as we are still praying, Lord, maybe you are here this morning and you have never given your life to God. Maybe you've come to church many times, but you've never surrendered your life. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to do just that. To say, God, I want to surrender everything to you. I want to give you my life. God, I want to give you my life. If that is you, I just want you to respond by just raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. I want to give you my life. I'm not talking about somebody making a recommitment. I'm talking about somebody for the very first time. It's just saying, God, have my life. Take my life. Is there anyone like that? And then I want to ask you, if you're here this morning and you know that you have left the path of righteousness. But it's time for you to return. God is calling you, not in anger, but in love. He's calling you. And you need to return to Him. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand also, just where you are. Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else? There's another hand. Is there anybody else? There's another hand. Father, I want to thank you for these hearts, Lord. I want to thank you for these hearts. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, that this morning, God, you see the heart. You see the brokenness. You see the cry of the heart, Lord. You see the humility, God, and you are drawn, God. You are drawn, Lord, like the father that runs when he sees the prodigal, Lord. I want to thank you, God, that this morning you are running. You are running. And you are embracing. You are embracing not in anger, Lord, but you are shouting to all of heaven to bring out the fatted cow, the lamb, the calf. And a great feast is being prepared because the son and the daughters are returning. They are returning. Lord, thank you, God, for the great feast. But Lord, I want to thank you for the great work that is still going to be done. So Lord, I thank you for these hearts. I thank you for these people. In Jesus' name.
Just to add with Andries, I just got a sense in my heart that God wants to touch a few people this morning here. And I sense in my heart there's a male here, 42 years old. You've been in an accident. I just sense God wants to, something happened to you. I feel this accident. You're starting with back pain, hip pain, leg pain, down on your feet. If that's maybe you, just after the service, just come to the front. If you, a male, 42-ish, I sense in my heart, God just wants to just restore what has been stolen from you. And then also, I sense in my heart just to, God wants to heal feet this morning. People are struggling with feet issues, pain in your feet, injury in your feet, any foot issues, God wants to heal you. And then also, something that popped into my spirit now is just, if you're struggling with hay fever, allergies, God also wants to heal you this morning of that. So, as Andries has closed the service, thank you for coming. Have some coffee or tea at the back. And if you've got any other prayer needs, and if you want us just to pray for your heart, for the rekindling of that fire, then also just come forward and we can lay hands on you and trust God for a mighty stir. Amen. Have an awesome day.
Father, I want to thank you for this great day. Thank you for this great calling that we can be part of. God, I pray that as we go from this place, that you will not only be with us, as you've promised, but that you will empower us. God, that you will teach us. God, I pray that as we go into the harvest, Lord, that many lives will be changed, even in this week, in Jesus' name. Amen.